last Sunday, the one with the high winds and torrential rains, might not sound like the best weather for beagling. That's the sport where, to quote the website of the Old Chatham Hunt Club, the organization that sponsored the event, a wily rabbit leads an eager pack of hounds through a whirlwind tour of the countryside. But the weather was decent, if not quite ideal, for several reasons. The first reason is that damp weather is apparently better to allow the hounds to scent the rabbit, and as it turned out on this afternoon, other woodland creatures too. The second reason is that the Hudson Valley is beautiful in mist, and one of the rationales for tagging along behind a pack of dogs through fields and woods, occasionally tiptoeing over down trees and sidestepping underbrush, is because the enterprise constitutes a reasonably low-impact form of exercise. And the final, and perhaps most persuasive reason for beagling, is that it culminates not with the cornering of a rabbit. If the average bunny is less clever than bugs, it's not by much. The sport is one of chase and rarely capture. But with a sumptuous tea with open bar at the home of a generous Hunt Club member. By the way, the Old Chatham Hunt Club was established in 1928 and is one of the oldest in the nation. It meets on Sundays in October, November, December, and March. On this afternoon, it was held at the home of Robert and Diane Peduzzi. The Peduzzi property has the benefit of one of the best views of the Hudson Valley and the Catskill Mountains beyond, as well as acres of fields that make for easy walking. They also happen to be neighbors of mine, so I could take comfort in the knowledge that if things went terribly wrong, for instance, if the cyclonic winds in the forecast splintered trees and power lines, I could return home and resume my typical Sunday afternoon ritual. That's lunch accompanied by the New York Times, followed by a profound nap. The hunt attracted about 10 dogs and as many humans, a modest turnout, though given the weather nonetheless impressive. We were led by Jack Kingsley, a club member who was pretty much everything you could ask for in a field master. Starting with a handsome, craggy face and matching disposition, he rallied us with a tender disciplinarian's touch to get going. The faster we did, though we never explicitly stated as much, the sooner we could retire to the Peduzzi home for refreshments. However, failure to participate in the hunt doesn't disqualify one from joining the party afterwards. I was told the club has something in the vicinity of 100 members, and the majority of them seem to show up for the post-hunt festivities. But first we followed the hounds, a bunch of beagles whose subtleties of behavior and group dynamics are apparently a thing of discussion, beauty, and endearment among the club's members. There's also a whipper in. That's a staff member who is the eyes and ears of the huntsmen and women, making sure the dogs stay focused on their mission. He also blows a horn to gather their attention. I don't know how persuasive that is, but it sounds highly evocative, making one feel themselves part of a ritual that dates back to merry old England. And while these animals are highly trained, they also happen to be dogs. I happen to know from personal experience that no matter how cooperative a dog is, not that ours is, or how many treats you secret in your clothing, a canine that spies a squirrel or finds something olfactory to roll around in typically refuses to listen to reason. The dogs seem to scatter and reassemble on multiple occasions in pursuit of a scent. When they finally found one, the braying was something to behold. The rules of engagement, as far as humans are concerned, call for them to stand back lest they interfere with the work of the dogs. They're not supposed to interact with the hounds at all. This is because dogs tend to be friendly, social creatures and are slaves for affection. Given the choice between a personality-free rabbit and an engaging person, they might well choose the latter. But back to the reason they were barking. It turned out not to be a rabbit at all, but something that emerged in front of us on the groomed trail we happened to be traveling. To me, it looked dark, if not black, long and mysterious. More experienced spotters identified it as a fox. The advantage of rabbits, as it was explained to me, is that when they flee a pack of hounds, they tend to run in something resembling a figure eight. Foxes, on the other hand, run in a straight line. In other words, given enough incentive and adrenaline, they could be in the next county in no time flat with the dogs on their tail. So the second half of the hunt was consumed standing in the rain while the whipper-in located the dogs. Fortunately, those who tended to be the most anarchistic had been fitted with tracking devices, so they were promptly retrieved. all except one. But I'm happy to report that he was located in a neighbor's barn sheltering from the rain, which just goes to show that in some ways animals are smarter than people, because my pants and shoes were soaking, and by the time he was located, I was padding around the Peduzzi home in my stocking feet. As much as I appreciated the invitation and enjoyed the outing, I'd be less than honest if I failed to admit that my favorite part of the afternoon, and the reason I'd return if I was ever invited again, was an excellent chocolate mousse, one of several superb desserts.